Well, saddle up. It's time to ride along the Veteran Strong podcast, where they're working to empower veterans one horse at a time. I'll let Ted Fuentes explain that one here. Ted, you do great work with equine therapy and veterans. And today, I'm honored to say you have a very distinguished veteran with us here, a Marine combat veteran who's been in lots of special engagements. We're not here to talk about those, but to talk about the special program that he's come up with called Breaking Free, where it's really about helping veterans break free from alcohol and drug addiction, right?
Yes, sir. Allow me to welcome our audience. Welcome to Veteran Strong USA podcast, broadcasting right here on OC Talk Radio. I'm Ted Fuentes, and together we're shining a light on the mental health challenges facing our veteran community right here in Orange County and across California. Through real conversation with veterans, mental health professionals, community leaders, we'll explore the struggles, share the triumphs, and highlight the resources that save lives and restore families. Because at Veterans Strong USA, we believe in empowering veterans one horse at a time. This is more than a podcast, it's a mission. Let's ride. Like Paul shared, I'm honored and excited to have a good friend of mine, Rory Folsom, here. Rory is a Marine Corps combat veteran, and he's got a lot of good stuff we're going to share today. But specifically, we're going to be talking about his sobriety program that he's created, and a little bit about his past and how we got there. Welcome, Rory.
Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody today and all the listeners, and hope everybody's having a great day and a good new year.
Absolutely. Marine Corps combat veteran. Been on a few campaigns, right?
Chewed a little dirt.
All right. Where did this sobriety program come from? How did it start? And we'll just start there.
In 2009, we were finding out, myself and the co-author, Stephen Duby, Air Force veteran.
Smart man.
He got himself in some trouble. I did 27 years incarcerated from the military. I got myself in some trouble working in different things around in my life. And as a common denominator, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol with combat veterans. And there was no substance help. The VA tries to do what they try to do, but they don't understand. Most VA people have never seen combat, never been around combat. So the adrenaline that comes off of coming off of deployments is not understood. So the overwhelming drug and alcohol, the people that I grew up with, I'm a little older than 66, and going through the 70s and 80s in the military. Some campaigns were sanctioned, some weren't. So you have to bottle all that stuff up. And you had to get a release. So that release was drugs and alcohol. And especially in the 80s, a lot of cocaine, a lot of things was happening. So we got together and we're finding out if they didn't get themselves clean, they got tired and running around in circles, so they just started killing themselves. So as we know, it's an epidemic in this country that we have an average of 26 veterans a day killing themselves on suicide.
I think I've shared this statistic with you before. 8 states in the union track veteran overdoses, and also the veterans that aren't in the VA healthcare system that took their lives. And the average number that they came up with was 43 a day. So I believe it's a lot higher than
the 26. Yeah. I can only verify, but I can imagine that. And now with the introduction of fentanyl and things like that, it's amazing how we're allowing this to happen to our veterans or just the general public. So we developed this Breaking Free program. It's a motivational enhancement therapy model. And what it actually deals with is a self-assessment. Who are we? If you look at yourself in the mirror, do you really know who you are? What causes the stressors in your life? What are the trigger moments? What is that need? Not just the physical need if you have an addiction of heroin and cocaine or alcohol or whatever, but what is that trigger mechanism? Is it? You got to be honest with yourself. We can tell all the lies we want, and it's just a bunch of wind from behind our teeth going to everybody to sustain our life every day. So we wanted to get to the nitty gritty. So we developed this program to look into ourselves, to make it aware of what we need in our lives to be normal as a good citizen, not what is normal, and be somebody that is supportive to ourselves and our communities. And so Breaking Free is in that enhancement.
And this was a program that you and your partner wrote while you were incarcerated?
Correct.
And I want to talk also about some of the highlights of your incarceration. You went to college, right?
Yes, I have several college degrees. I have 5 AAs, a BA, a BS, management, and I went to Stratton College for drug addiction and counseling, and then I did international religious studies for, because of AA and NA and all these, they're all Bill's friends and so forth that developed this spiritual aspect of it. And spirituality is definitely a great proponent to any kind of recovery. But the thing is, if you're not knowledgeable about each religion, you could offend somebody and turn them off from your programs. And most programs fall into the New Age Christianity or Catholicism and so forth. And we wanted to stay away from any of that. We wanted to be in an aspect that whatever you believe in your heart, is that's what's important. Not to put something else on somebody or have them be shied away from the program because, oh, you have to believe in this. And I've seen it in many programs, so I don't want to offend anybody. So I had to know it. So yep. I did 8 years of religious studies and became an ordained minister and so forth just to find out.
While you were incarcerated?
Correct.
Yeah. That's excellent. So the gentleman that you mentioned that's your partner in this, did you know him from your service or did you meet him when you were incarcerated?
Incarcerated. Yeah. We started veterans groups and in the institution. We have a lot of other veterans and a lot of the, then we developed the program because the wardens came to us and said, hey, what can we do to help this? Because the drugs are rampant in the prison systems.
That's what I told.
Whatever you can get on the street, you can get inside.
I've heard even more.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And then I'm not trying to put anything on anybody or try to blame anybody, but that's just the way society follows.
Obviously, I don't know anything about being a combat veteran. I serve a lot of these men and women, but predominantly men. And I just have a perspective from someone who's been providing equestrian-type therapeutic services. It's amazing when these men get around these horses, man. They just start talking. There's such a calming effect, and they just start talking. But to your point about that combat adrenaline rush and then being pulled from that, and then it's, what do? Resort to drugs or alcohol or whatever to fill that void, that gap. When I work with these men in the round pen with these horses, man, it's pretty interesting to watch these men. Like, some of these guys are big, strong men, man, and they just, it's an unfamiliar environment for them. So it's incredible to see the adrenaline rush for them and then just them working through their own emotional regulations and that. But you've have two versions of the book. One we handed to a post-incarcerated veteran that you met, and he's been working through that program. The first one was in a group setting, and then this second iteration is for the individual. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, the first one we developed and was running it in one of the California institutions to augment the programs. And so hundreds of guys have gone through the program, but it was a teaching aspect to it. The counselors would hold the class. We'd go through the program and do the educational part of it and do the lessons, so there would be feedback. And then we found out that a lot of them that got out are looking, the people that were around them were looking for something to do their studies in. So we re-advised and made a second edition that just published on the 10th of this month. It's in Amazon. It's being distributed to 71 different countries.
Is it available now for purchase?
Yes, it is. You get it's $2.99 for the Kindle. That's $14.99 for the paperback and $19.99 for the hardback. And it's a self-motivational book that you do. And eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to do an online classes if people want to start scripting to that.
Like that's a Zoom?
Yeah, that's being developed also. There was a need. People asked to do a second edition, so we did. Steve right now is working as a suicide prevention crisis counselor for the National Veterans Foundation. He gets hundreds of calls every day, and there's a need for it. So we're trying to fill that gap.
Is that the gentleman I met at the American Legion event, Shab? No.
Oh, no, he's in Phoenix right now.
Okay.
So he wasn't at that.
What's the guy that is a friend of yours?
That's Paul Thomas.
No, the Shad or?
Oh, Shad Meshad, Dr. Shad Meshad. Yeah. He's clinical psychologist, psychiatrist. He's the individual that brought PTSD to Congress to have it recognized. He worked with Mac V. Sog in Vietnam. He's quite a individual and really made a life of trying to help veterans.
And that's what he does now, right?
Yes.
On the mental health side.
Correct.
Do you know the name of his organization?
National Veterans Foundation.
Okay. And that's, they could go to his website to find out?
Absolutely.
Okay. When someone receives this literature, what's their first step going to be?
The first step is taking an agreement. You're going to write a confidentiality agreement. From the first couple pages, you're going to agree to keep what you're doing, or if you're talking with somebody else, keep it to yourself. And it's just a sense of, okay, here's some responsibility. Can you hold responsibility? And so now that's the first key step, responsibility. Responsibility to yourself and somebody else. It's like in the military. If you're in a trench and those bullets are coming over the top of your head, you're not fighting for the flag and God. You're fighting for the guy that's right next to you. That's who you're fighting for.
Right.
Yourself and the guy next to you. So it brings you back to that sense that, okay, I have the responsibility to myself and I have the responsibility to somebody else. So that makes that first step. Okay, this is real. Then we go along and the next step is that you go through the book. It gives assessment, a self-assessment of your needs. What do you need? Do you need housing? Do you need food? Do you need what? And it takes you step by step on how, where to look and how to get in contact with people. From there, it's a self-assessment about you. What's your education? What's your thing? So you can go through this step by step. And when you're completed, you know what your needs are and what your wants are. Then you can develop all the information from what you've wrote down to a resume. Because a lot of people don't know how to do a resume.
Correct.
So they just answer the questions, they get it all done, and then it goes into an 8-week program. And then each week, you read the task and you complete each task throughout the week. So you develop the strength throughout 8 weeks. And then at the end of the 8 weeks, it teaches you a long-term relapse prevention program. What are those triggers? What's going to lead me back into doing something? There's a lot of programs that say you have 9 months sobriety and you slip up and you have a drink. Then you have to start all over again. We don't believe in that. You got to keep moving on. Okay, assess it. Understand what took place and move forward. Don't keep retreading, because the shame and guilt of retreading on some emotions is too much for a lot of veterans. And a lot of veterans says, I'm tired of being ashamed. I'm tired of doing this. So they end their life. So we don't want to put anything on somebody where they have to start over and over and over and over again. It's like a retread.
You bring up an interesting point there, because we were talking pre-show here about the drug and alcohol problems in our community and how not just even the combat veterans, but veterans in general that transition out of the military were told what to do. okay? We're provided a paycheck. We're provided a place to live. Our utilities are paid for. We just have to show up for work, essentially, is what it is. When we're discharged from the military, as a young airman or a young Marine, a lot of these men and women don't know what to do. And a lot of these folks get a little sideways and they start partying a little bit too hard. And then some bad stuff happens, which is maybe they get popped with the DUI or they get busted in a bar fight or something like that. And then they're taken to jail. And depending on the severity of what the charge is, they can end up in veterans court. And then they have to get involved in the veterans court programs, or maybe they get sentenced to some time in the Humvee unit here in Orange County. But the what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of self-reflection in your sobriety program.
Yeah, it's about honesty.
Yeah.
It's about being honest with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, you're not going to be honest with anybody else around you. And that's going to lead you down into what they call stinking thinking. There's an old saying that goes on, I move towards and become what I think about. If I'm thinking wrong, I'm going to do wrong.
Oh, man.
If I'm going to think right, I'm going to do right.
Yeah.
And how? And it's real. It's as simple as that. And a lot of people get mixed up because of all of the society norms and needs. And a lot of guys coming out of the veterans or out of incarcerated or just are having a hard time, they want to catch up because they see their friends that have been not in the military having careers and they've got houses and things like that. And they want it all the next day. And they know that they can't. So they get embarrassed, shame, guilt, start partying, start numbing themselves. A lot of triggers that come about with that. Then the effort mentality goes in it. So I'm just going to do what I'm going to do anyways, and I don't care.
And then their life starts falling apart.
Absolutely.
And then the suicide ideations come in, and they medicate, and then they end up taking their lives. And it's a circle that I know my work with Veterans Strong USA, it's something that I continue to focus on and help our brothers and sisters with, and their family members for that matter. We touched on the beginning of your program. What is the middle part of your program look like? And then is there ever a completion to the program, or is it ongoing?
It's an 8-week program, and throughout that 8 weeks, you do self-assessments all the time, and you get knowledge of what the drugs are doing to you, what the alcohol is doing to you, what is the factors that go along with that, communication processes. Then from that standpoint, the relapsation prevention, that's an ongoing thing from that point forward. But then it's a community, working with the community, giving back, things like that. That's where it's a lifelong program. And once you become a citizen as somebody that, what I'm saying as a citizen, in the Marines or in the Air Force or in the military, you're military personnel. You're not identified as a citizen. You might be a citizen of the United States, but you're a military personnel. You're not identified as a citizen. And you're all for the military, for whatever your command structure is. From that standpoint, once you get out of the military, to be a citizen is to be a part of the community. What is the community needs? Are you volunteering anywhere? Are you helping somebody? And there's where the self-esteem comes in and learning how to do that. It's your program. When one of those individuals that are having a hard time put their hand on the withers of a horse and they feel the power, it shakes a little bit,
yeah.
It gets them a little shaky, and then the horse understands completely what that person's going through and starts to relax, and it relaxes the person.
Yes.
And that's how a person reacts to society. If the society is pushing him away, he's going to push back. So we want people to understand they are part of the society, be part of that, and come in the fold and start acting in the proper manner and get away from that self-destructive behavior.
AA doesn't work for everyone. And your program, really, just the way you've described it and that, because I'm working with the Orange County Veterans Courts, I have access and work with a lot of these men that are either caught up in the justice system or coming out of local incarceration, the Humvee. And just about every one of them has a drug problem or an alcohol problem, or their charge is related to their drug and alcohol usage. So we have a tremendous problem with drugs and alcohol in our community. We're almost running out of time, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share anything more about your book. And not only that, but you've been through a lot. And I think one of the things that stands out for me with you is that you've just been putting one foot in front of the other, keep going, regardless of whatever's happened in your past, and coming out of incarceration and really becoming a success story with your employment, your family, all that stuff. So can you expand on some of that?
I appreciate it. The thing that I could find in myself is that there's a gap, at void. When you're coming out of situations, or these women and men and women are coming back from deployment, that adrenaline gap. And then when they get into the drugs and alcohol, you get them into the Humvee units and get them into incarceration. Then there's a gap, right? They got to void. You got to put something in their path to fill that gap of an emotional intent. And that emotional intent is to make themselves better. And how to do that, you have to do a self-assessment. You have to really know who you are. And that's what this book's about, is to teach you who you are and how you can proceed forward without using the drugs and alcohol. Or it's not even drugs and alcohol. It's about anger management also. It has aspects of anger management. And it gives you an idea of what those drugs are doing to you. Like people say, oh yeah, I need to take a drink to go to sleep. That's not what's going to happen. You're going to stay awake and it's going to be worse. And it gets into the drugs and alcohol aspects of that. But you have to fill, you can't just say you're not going to use drugs. What are you going to fill it with? And that's what we take them out. I had recreational therapy for veterans where I use my flute and we do guided meditations so people can end up communicating. And that's another aspect. When people are around, combat veterans are around people, they don't understand what the guy's seen. They haven't seen a body burnt. They haven't seen kids being shot. They haven't seen women being blown up or have a bomb on themselves, or their friends, picking their friends up and trying to put them in a helicopter. So they don't want to talk to anybody about that, but they need to talk. They need to get it out, and they need to keep moving. And that's what's about the self-assessment, and where's those triggers, and where's the hang-up? Why can't I get this out of me? And that's what the book's about.
So one last thing. Again, I'm with Veterans Strong USA. Anyone that is any veteran, active duty military, their family members and first responders that are interested in equine therapeutic services, equine psychotherapy, join-up therapy, therapeutic horsemanship. You can reach Veterans Strong USA at veteransstrongusa@gmail.com, and our website is veteransstrongusa.com. But as we close out here, Rory, I wanted to give you the last word here. How can people get a copy of your sobriety program, and what is the best way for them to contact you if they're interested? Do you want them to come through the Veterans Strong USA email?
Yeah, come through Veterans Strong email if it's with you, and that would be great. And I want to do more work with you. And the other aspects is it's on Amazon. Yeah. You can get a Kindle electronic for $2.99. You can get the paperback for $14.99 and the hardback for $19.99.
What do they search it for again?
It's Breaking Free Motivational Enhancement Therapy by Rory Folsom and Stephen Doobie.
Okay, perfect, man. I appreciate you, Rory. Thank you, man, for being here. I think this is going to be a great thing for not just our veteran community, but people who struggle with addictions and alcoholism. To me, you're a success story, man, someone I admire very much. And I know a little bit more about you than most people, so I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
I'm trying to live up to the acronyms of the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis. And and that means not just to the Marine Corps, but always be faithful to your community and your family.
Yes,
and
sir.
Try to do the right things. Not that I have. Believe me, I'm the first one to admit that I've fallen down. But it's about how you get back up and ask for help.
Amen. And that's one of the things I'm working with these veterans now is don't be too proud to ask for help, okay?
Absolutely.
And no one takes care of veterans better than our veteran brothers and sisters, our families. So that's it, folks. Thank you very much. Paul, thank you for hosting us. And Rory, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to do this show.
Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Wow. If that's not a powerful discussion, I don't know what is. That's why we do this. Veterans Strong Podcast. Helping veterans one conversation at a time, one horse at a time. If you want to know more, check it out. Come back and join us again right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.